Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to tonight's regularly scheduled City Council meeting. The meeting is called to order, and I kindly ask our city clerk, the one and the only Mr. Landberg, to please take the roll call.
Chuck Brown.
Here.
Ralph Dantino. Dorothy Flanagan.
Here.
Sam Hill.
Here.
Craig Maladra.
Here.
Richard Marks.
Here.
Ray Pollock.
Here.
Robert Piper.
Here.
Ron Singer.
Here.
Don Vogelsberg.
Here.
We have the powerful police force in the audience tonight, so everyone please behave yourselves. And it's only fitting that we begin tonight's meeting by asking the one of three Kane County Citizens of the Year to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, Alderman Vogelsberg.
Oh, thank you. I pledge allegiance
to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
A couple lighthearted comments. Congratulations to Commander Nash and her Batavia Bulldogs for the victory in the volleyball game against the Vikings, and my sympathies in your loss at the football field. So, Vikings, you can't do it all. That's what Schilke says. The Vikings play Lamont next week. I'm not sure if it's a Friday or Saturday game.
Saturday at 6 p.m.
In Lamont?
Yes.
Good Lord, we got to get a hotel, Piper.
I agree.
I'm not sharing with you again. I'm only calling that once.
Is it a home game or an away?
It's away. It's in Lamont.
I left a tent at the PGA.
Did you? Good. Good Lord. And on a serious note, I think it's only fitting that first and foremost we acknowledge the extraordinary work of the DeKalb Police Department in apprehending that scumbag who was responsible for the death of our neighbor, Tony Keller, from Plainfield, Illinois. There are a lot of students from Geneva, Illinois, who are recruited by NIU to not only attend classes but, of course, play athletics. I know some of those students, and they are all shooken to their core with respect to what happened. So if it's any solace at all to the Keller family, I want them to know that the citizens of Geneva and this council certainly extend their sympathies, and, of course, we offer them our deepest prayers. So now on to business. Item 3A, consider the mayor's appointments to the Cultural Arts Commission. We have an appointment tonight. Da-da-da. We have, can't read that, Alexia Monaco and Lynn Lappin. All of you should have in your packets this material, their applications. Do we want to hear from the chair of the Cultural Arts Commission, or does anyone really like Tim Vitang that much? Do we want to hear from him?
Yeah, I want to hear him.
Please do. Uh-oh. What happened?
Oh, it's a...
Correction. Mr. Vitang, although he is gone from the council, still has extraordinary power. What's that? It's only one appointment, ladies and gentlemen. It's Alexia Monaco. My apologies. Everyone has Alexia's application. Mr. Vitang and I spoke shortly after the interviews were conducted, and I think there was unanimity on the selection committee regarding Mrs. Monaco's qualifications, her energy, her enthusiasm. So in that regard, I would like to entertain a motion to so appoint Mrs. Monaco to the Cultural Arts Commission. Alderman Pollack makes the motion. Alderman Piper makes the second. Any questions or comments? A roll call vote is in order. Mr. Clerk?
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
The motion is unanimous. Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. This is the first time in the history of my tutelage that someone said, may I approach the bench and not hit me. So that was very exciting. Thank you. Probably not the last time either. Item 3B is a department report presentation by none other than the Geneva Police Department. We have Commander Nash, Commander Julie Nash, a.k.a. my favorite bulldog, with us this evening. And, of course, in the audience is, I believe that's the handsome devil Chief Mexen.
And Commander Pastorelli appears to have left.
Yeah, well, I thought so.
Look at him jump ship.
Apparently he got so nervous.
Yeah. Well, obviously.
We never liked him anyway, so it's all good.
He's the Chiefs' favorite anyway, so that's why he didn't. It's been 6 months. We got started, and it's a go. I'm going to tell you a little history of the program. You turned me off already.
There you go. I've heard enough.
Obviously, the majority of you know the history of the program because we've all lived it. City Council approved it January 2008. And I'm going to fly through this stuff to get to the end stuff with all the videos and stuff. That's much better. Construction began January 2010. We don't do anything fast. Prior to the launch, we put out press releases, signs on the border of town acknowledging that we were a red light town, Channel 10. We had a whole host of things that we did besides those. Create a red light photo enforcement program voicemail box and a web address to address questions and concerns. And I will tell you that the public does take advantage of that. Implemented a 15-day warning period, and then March 9th, 2010, we got the program up and going. A little implementation for those of you who did not come and see the videos and learn how the process worked. I'll just give you a brief overview of it. Redflex reviews each incident, and I put incident in a quote because incident is any time the camera goes off, okay? So it could be for anything. So we have sort of a two-tier review system. Redflex, this will be my hardest part, is to actually stand still and not wander around the room. Redflex reviews each incident. They eliminate incidents at their level for various reasons, such as emergency vehicles, mechanical issues with the camera. Then each incident is reviewed by a sworn police officer. We limited the amount of police officers that review them so that we are on the same page. And so we trained together. We reviewed some together so that we know exactly what we're looking at each video for, what we're looking at each video. So we have a very limited amount of officers that review them. The chief, two commanders, one sergeant, and two officers. Then they review them to determine, and I will tell you the first 2,000 were reviewed by Commander Passarelli and myself, so I know those are absolutely top-notch. Reviewed, at that time we determined if they're accepted or not accepted. Violation data up until the 28th of October, since March 9th, we've recorded, or I call incident violation again, Randall Road, Fargo Boulevard, 3,635. Randall Road, Williamsburg, 5,564. Of those, again, remember, there are a lot of reasons that they can be eliminated, and I just named a few. Of those, the ones that were available to be cited, Randall Road and Fargo, 2,450, and believe it or not, Randall Road and Williamsburg, 2,450. The reason for the total violations versus citations issued, as I mentioned before, there are a couple different reasons. These are just some. Plate obstructions, vehicle obstructions, emergency vehicles responding to a situation, and then the ever-famous safe right turn on red. Again, that was a big debate when we first started this program. Again, each and every incident is reviewed. So if it's a right turn on red, I can guarantee you it's a blatant right turn on red. Randall Road in Fargo, of all those that I mentioned before, 430 right turn on red detections. That means as the officer's reviewing them, whether or not they accept it or deny it, they know it was a right turn on red, so that it gives us this data. That means 11% of that 55 or whatever the original number was, 11% are right turn on red detections. We review them, 91%, 91 were eliminated, therefore giving us 9.3 of all detections for Randall Road and Fargo are right turn on red violations. Same philosophy here on Randall Road and Williamsburg. We had 998. You need to remember that Randallburg, joke for Eric, Randall Road and Williamsburg has the entrance into the hospital and the commons and then the residential area. So that would explain why that number is higher. 102 were not accepted. 16% of all detections that are noted at that intersection are right turn on red violations. See if I get this one right. The ones that we do cite, I will tell you, every one of them is reviewed, and they are blatant. Here's an example. That would be cited.
Way to go, Sam.
Let the video run out.
Blow another one.
That's pretty cool the way you did that.
Thank you. There's more. There's more exciting video. Just wait. Whether or not you think those numbers are high or not high, I will tell you, I think we would generally say we were stunned at how many of the violations that we saw were straight throughs. And again, they're straight through and they're blatant straight through. And I tell you to keep watching on this because there are multiple things that are going to occur in this video. But that's not it. Though that was a pretty cool sound effect, huh? There's the violation, there's the near miss, and there's the bicyclist that just comes off the corner. So, again, as I said before, the violations are very blatant. Should somebody be cited and given a citation, they're offered the option of a hearing. If they're a non-resident, they're offered a non-appearance hearing. They're offered every third Thursday of the month down in Batavia, where we had our code enforcement hearings. We seem to be doing the majority of the hearings there. We've had, between March and now, we've had 127 people request a hearing of some sort, 87 found liable, 3 not liable. The ironic thing about this is the guy who sold his vehicle, the guy who had bought his vehicle, ran both of our intersections on the same day. So two of those three were the same guy. Mm-hmm. And then an emergency circumstance, we had a situation where a doctor could provide documentation that he was on his way to an emergency. Probably the best part of this is during these hearings are led by Officer Rivera and Officer Carbray, who are the two officers I mentioned before that review these. They attend the hearings, and they say that it's very interesting, as the first person will go up, meet with the lawyer who's overseeing these hearings. They'll have their little conversation. They'll show the video, and then other people will stand up and just go ask to pay and leave. So, and then we have others request. We're very accommodating when people call and ask for different things. So the hearings so far are very successful in that they're going well. They're being well run by the two officers. Reason a person would be found not liable: person actually stopped as demonstrated by the evidence. The car or plates were stolen. And obviously, we require documentation of some sort for that. Person was yielding to an emergency vehicle, or the person was in a funeral procession. Traffic crash data. This is data we've collected, obviously. Numbers, again, 25, 25, 18, 15 to September. We still have, obviously, some months left. 28, 28, 23, 18. What does this data tell us? The effectiveness of the program. Unfortunately, I'm not going to be able to stand up here and tell you at this time whether it's effective or not, because I can't just look at the bottom line numbers and say, well, we have fewer accidents, so therefore the program's a success, or we have more accidents, so therefore the program's not working, because until we evaluate the data, which Commander Passarelli will be doing, until we evaluate and determine exactly what sort of accidents are occurring in those intersections, we won't know the effectiveness of this program. Because it says intersection-related, which the state tells us we have to note it as, does not necessarily mean the accident occurred in the intersection. Doesn't mean it occurred on Randall as opposed to one of the side streets. So I would love to tell you, stand up here and tell you that all the data is telling us it's a success, but we won't know that until we dig deeper into the numbers, which we will have to do when we renew our permit. Increased safety. The ultimate goals of the program, obviously, to increase safety, reduction in serious accidents, and that's when we analyze the data, that's what we're going to be able to find. Have these serious accidents gone down? Reductions in violations. I always tell people when I talk to them on the phone and stuff, this program is like trying to reteach people the rules of the road. Yellow does not mean speed up. It means slow down. Stop does not mean drive faster. It means stop. To be honest with you, I am surprised that the numbers, I don't know about you guys, but I'm surprised the numbers haven't gone down a little. But they are what they are. And ultimately, the most important goal is to reduce injury-type accidents. Injury-type accidents are caused by T-bone-type accidents. And again, once we analyze the data, we'll know if that's occurring or not.
Bang! Whoa!
Not that day.
About to on your side, Chuck.
Was that cited?
Well, and I will tell you, we've already, this program already has given us great benefits. We've had a couple accidents where, based on the evidence at the scene, talking to the witnesses, talking to the drivers, the officers wrote the report based on what they would have thought had occurred. They went back and reviewed the accident on the videotape, because we have access to this, and determined that something else had occurred. And it's not because anybody was lying or anything, or, you know, telling the officer. And when the people had the accident, in their minds, they thought this is what had occurred. And fortunately for the video, we were able to say otherwise. For those who don't know, KDOT recently changed their policy. It goes into effect January 1st. The effect this will have on us is right turn on reds will not be cited unless they're posted and the signage is not working or there's a documented history. In order to get our permit renewed, we're going to have to provide them a lot of documentation to provide them what they want. Also, the red light cameras have to be a last resort, which means that because these are Kane County intersections, KDOT will have to attempt to make improvements, which would cost a lot of money. Some of those improvements would be signal timing, roadway construction, signage, and they cannot be within 1 mile of another camera. I went on Google today, and our Fargo and Williamsburg is exactly 1 mile. So another policy changes how it affects us. 1 year renewal, so obviously come March 9th, we're going to have to, March 9th, 2011, we'll have to collect that data and try to get a renewal. And there is a 3-year lifespan on the cameras, so they can only have those cameras at intersections for 3 years. So what does this mean to us? I spoke with our regional rep and the status of the camera at Kirk Road and Fabian without saying as his sworn word or the legal word of Redflex, our company, KDOT has made it cost prohibitive to install them on county highways. But that will be something the city administrator and Redflex will have to work out. So thank you. Any questions? And that's for you, Mayor.
Talk about a violation.
Yeah. Question.
Oh, thank you. When you said 3-year limit, does that mean you have to take the camera to a different intersection?
No, 3-year limit for that intersection. So should they renew our permit come March 9th, we will have another year on it, and then we'll have to go for another renewal, and we'll have another year. But it can only be at that one intersection for 3 years.
Okay. So. Thank you.
Any other comments or questions for the commander?
Yes.
Alderman Flanagan, then Singer.
She's in charge now.
Sorry.
That's true.
She says I don't know my limits. So
you've clearly been demoted. Yeah. You're like in charge of a meeting here. Like.
Thank you. You said 3 years. So does that mean that, Alderman Vogelsberg said, do you have to move the cameras, or do they still stay there and other cameras get put in place of them?
No. That camera is there. Take Randall and Fargo.
Yeah.
It's there. We will attempt to renew our permit come March 9th.
Yeah, for 2 more years. For,
no, we'll have to do it for another year, okay. And then we'll have to do it for another year, and then our 3 years will be up, and we won't be able to have it there anymore. So it's just 3 years at an intersection.
And then the Fargo one you said was cost prohibitive based upon KDOT?
We currently still have a permit that we could do for Fabian and Kirk.
That's what I meant.
Yeah, and they basically Redflex does these contracts, they do them thinking that the cameras will be there for a lifespan of about 7 years in order to recoup their costs, because it's $120,000 per approach for each of these cameras.
Okay.
And so to recoup their costs, it takes about 7 years to do it. So if we're only going to have the camera for 3 years.
I see what you're saying.
My math's not great, but.
I understand now. Thank you.
Alderman Flanagan.
I'm so sorry. When you said that they were injury with T-bone, do you know if those 18 accidents that were reported at those intersections, did they have injuries? Or
we don't know yet. Again, we will literally have to go through every accident. And we, in order to renew our permit, we have to go back how many years? 3 years. Commander Pastorelli does all the accident data stuff. That's why I'm deferring to him. We'll have to go back and literally look at each accident to determine what caused the accident, where the accident occurred? Was it an injury accident? Was it a just damage to property? So we will have to analyze every single accident.
And I did have the opportunity to go down and come over there and see it, and I was quite shocked at the number of red light violations that blatantly just went right through.
The sad thing is, putting the video together, we didn't have any problem finding videos. We had saved it. We stopped saving videos because we had so many in our documents. So,
thank you.
Alderman Singer, then Alderman Maladra, then Alderman Hill, then Alderman Pollack.
Thank you. Have you had many inquiries from the insurance companies?
Well, funny you should say that. We actually just recently had a situation, and we basically made them do a FOIA request. And the guys are not, guys being generic, are not asking for videos on every single accident. They're obviously serious accidents and stuff, because we don't want to become a clearinghouse for the
right.
insurance companies.
Right.
And so basically, if they get a video, we put into evidence, and then they have to do a Freedom of Information Act request. So,
are you contemplating the installation of other cameras once these expire?
I believe that would be up to the city. I think they're a great program. I am a big Commander Pasquarelli knows how passionately I will talk about this program. And again, I said from the beginning, I walked into it and was told to oversee this program. I now believe in this program, and I've seen it. I said, I can't give you the data that tells you this program is working right now, but I can tell you from my perception of listening to the radio and talking to the guys and listening to the accidents that are occurring, so I believe the program is working. So I hope that I will someday be able to provide you the data that says the same.
Well, it's very comforting. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
You're welcome. Alderman Maladra, Hill, then Pollack.
While perhaps not as passionate as you are, I would say that I had a similar type of mind shift about these cameras as well. It started when we were invited to ride along with the officers, and I saw that there's no alternative means of enforcing laws at these intersections. And then it was emphasized, or it grew again when I did like Alderman Flanagan and watched the videos, and I'm glad you showed them tonight, because the thing that I find amazing is it's kind of accidental that there's not an accident. I mean, people think that running these red lights is a not a big deal, it's not a big thing, but if you look at these intersections and you see how fast people go, it's a miracle that mm-hmm. something worse doesn't happen more often.
And imagine the video that I showed, the car swerving to avoid the accident was bad enough. The bicyclist coming
right.
off that curb, not paying attention.
Exactly.
We've had videos with school buses. We've had videos with, other cars coming off, things.
So I'm
And
just...
we'll never know how many... accidents we did prevent, we can just show you.
Well, you never know how many accidents you prevent by having a squad car sitting there. It's
Absolutely.
The same thing.
I had an officer in my office today who said that he was surprised the amount of incidences or citations that were going out, because even as a police officer being at those intersections, he couldn't fathom there were that many. I mean, we're talking thousands, so.
Yeah. Alderman Hill.
Thank you, Mayor. Great presentation, Commander. I've been a believer of the program even before you were. And I think it's been very successful. I'm disappointed that KDOT has issued their three-year limitation on county intersections. That's basically going to kill the program. And I'm wondering if there's a possibility that if we find locations where it might be advantageous that they're just city streets or city intersections, perhaps even without stoplights, that it might be possible to consider doing that. Because I have across an intersection almost every day of the week, and I see these cars turning right sometimes within 25 to 30 feet in front of my car, and they've made a very bad mistake when they do that. But I do slow down. My other interest is the income that is generated from what we've accomplished so far, and where are we now on that? Do you have that information, Mary, by any chance?
Are you talking about the total income that we've received to date? I don't have those figures with me, no.
I think that would be interesting to find out, because if there has been a large income, perhaps we ought to consider doing something with the with that so-called profit or income, whatever you want to call it, for a life safety program or a facility or a piece of equipment.
Alderman Hill, I will tell you that that's already been budgeted.
Yep.
Actually, it's been budgeted for the last 4 years, 2 years before, 3 years, I guess, before they were actually installed when they were expected to be installed. That money goes into the general fund to help support the operations of the police department and all the other departments already. So it's already been accounted for.
I would just like to see some of the people who are violating the laws to contribute to a piece of equipment or whatever there might be that the police or fire department could come up with to be able to use some of those dollars for that purpose.
Well, it is already. As I said, the police department accounts for the majority of our general fund budget.
Okay.
And this is these dollars that have been collected are already going to the general fund and, in essence, are already buying guns and vehicles or contributing to those purchases. So it's spread across the general fund. But, I mean, if we want to say we allocate it, you know, to the police department only, we can do that, but that means that same amount then gets taken away from the police department because it goes into the general fund and spread across all operations. So bottom line, in essence, it already is supporting the operations of our police department and has been in the budget for at least 2 years that I've done the budget.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Commander.
Thank you.
I can see the headlines now on patch.com. Revenue to buy guns. I do read that thing every day, and it keeps me up at night. Alderman Pawlak, then Piper.
Thanks, Mayor. My question has been asked and answered.
Alderman Piper.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Commander, that was a great presentation. Yep. I mean, I think a lot of us were on the fence on this and thought we'd give it a try because we had the wherewithal to put at least what we thought was some forethought into this and have as much control as possible. And I think everybody that came in, and I think it was all of us, came in and sat down, and I can't thank you enough for bringing in some of the videos because that is the sale. That's the tip in. I think after sitting down with the chief and yourself and Commander Passarelli, that was when everybody went, wow, are we doing the right thing? Because I'll never forget that video of that bus and saying, watch the red light, there goes the car, and here comes the bus. And I mean, that was like, oh, my God. It's scary. It's just they're scary videos to watch. For the 10 of us or 11 of us, we get a lot of the, you know, a lot of the emails, a lot of the phone calls about how unfair this is. And I mean the arrogance of these people to say that this is unfair. There's not a police officer in a car hiding somewhere to watch you. There's a big damn sign that says this is a red light. We're going to give you a ticket if you run this light. That's about as fair as it gets. And the people run it anyway to the tune of about $800 a month.
And I will say, and I'm sorry for interrupting, I believe our city, our police department, has gone far beyond any other department. And, again, I've read the articles.
Oh, yeah.
I've done the Internet, everything. We did everything. There's nothing that, you know, we're being as transparent as possible about this program. And, you know, again, it's not a secret. You know, we told people it was coming.
And it's the explanation. It's the explaining that we have to do, and the explanations that we have to give people that we as a city and you as a police department have done things so much differently. We take a lot of flack for the cities that haven't. The cities that have put these in for income, if they have put in 50 at a time, and tried to make to explain that we've put in two at the most dangerous intersections, and then explain to them that they are reviewed, and we take X amount of them away, and only for blatant violations. And then you see the videos and you go, it doesn't get much more blatant than that. You guys are doing a great job, and it's a great program. And I think, unfortunately, the county is folding to pressure of people that they shouldn't be folding to. I think it's embarrassing. I think they should just sort of let it go. But those are for people in higher positions than we are. But thank you very much for doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Alderman Vogelsberg for a second time, then Alderman Maladra.
Commander, I was just going to echo what Alderman Piper said, and I think that is the difference that Geneva brings to it, is that it is reviewed by an officer. So there is no unfairness, and I think that makes a big difference. And our program is not equal with what some of the other ones that are getting the bad press, but we all have to, you know. So I think it is a wonderful thing. Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Alderman Maladra.
Yeah, I was just curious if you know what the rationale is behind this three-year rule. Given everything we've seen, given everything we just said about the intersections being unenforceable, about the dangerous nature of the intersections, on what grounds would they justify removing the cameras after 3 years?
I can tell by the clenching of jaws.
I have one.
I can think of cleansing breaths.
Holster your gun, Commander.
And they feel that somehow 3 years is enough time to modify people's behavior. And maybe that's true if the percentage of cars going through that intersection is the same cars day after day after day after day. But the nature of Randall Road, you get a lot of people from out of town visiting the area. In fact, we do a lot of work to bring people from outside into the area. So I don't see a whole lot of behavior modification taking place. Otherwise, I really don't get the, I don't know what they hope to accomplish.
I don't know.
Okay. Stump the commander.
I'm trying to be a good soldier up here.
Yeah, watch the commanders.
Yeah, I've got something to say that the commander won't. So Alderman Flanagan.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did have to correct Alderman Piper that wasn't really the dangerous intersection. Those two are dangerous intersections, but they're not the most dangerous intersection that we have. It's Caneville and Randall, or Caneville, Kesslinger, and Randall.
Go ahead. An important thing to know is, again, red light cameras are designed to decrease the amount of serious injury type accidents that are caused by T-bones. The type of accidents that are occurring at Caneville and Randall are rear-end type accidents, which are more property damage type accidents, which the belief was that they were occurring because people didn't know there was a traffic signal coming over the hill or from that. For some reason, going southbound, it is hard to see that there's. So KDOT actually did the right thing and put up a warning signal telling you there was one, and then telling you that coming over the hill there was one, hopefully decreasing the amount of accidents. So these are designed to decrease the amount of serious accidents, serious injury type accidents, which were occurring at our two intersections. KDOT did the responsible thing at Caneville and Randall. We'll see.
If you remember the report we got, that's what we thought.
That was the most accidents that occurred.
But the severity the other two, because it was completely opposite of what we thought.
We did a study.
We did Redflex did a study, and they came back with their data saying that Williamsburg and Randall were the most red light violations. And we were stunned by the numbers not being there at Caneville, and we were surprised. So we actually asked them to come back and do it again, which they did. And again, it wasn't a viable intersection. Again, the accidents that are occurring there are more property damage type accidents.
But they still are occurring there too, right?
Still occurring.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
Anyone else from the dais? Comments or questions for the commander? From the audience, anyone?
This is your chance, Eric.
Alderman Piper touched on this. Alderman Maladra, perhaps some others are probably thinking it. But the reality is that this entire escapade of big brotherism occurred when State Senator Dan Duffy, who I happen to go to college with, thought it was unfair to have these red light cameras in, and all hell broke loose in Springfield. That all hell breaking loose, of course, ran over to the county level. And I would argue, and I've said this to the chairman, and I'll say it to anybody who supported this initiative, they buckled under political pressure, pure and simple. I attended every hearing on behalf of the citizens of Geneva, spoke about the veracity of the program, detailed painfully what we have done and continue to do that others thought should be done. We've been the leader in this effort from the get-go. It was all a kangaroo court. Every hearing I attended, there were at maximum, one or two people who thought the red light cameras were a violation of their privacy. Nobody else spoke. Chiefs of police from Aurora all the way up to Carpentersville spoke about the benefit of the program for the simple reason that we don't have the resources to station a cop at every corner. We know that. Sadly, the question was asked, why 3 years? Because I think in 3 years, I think majority of those currently holding position of the county board will think that most people will forget. I think they're banking on the stupidity of the voter to get over it. But when someone's killed or when someone's injured, and the calls I have that I have saved on my voicemail downstairs from residents who are grateful because they've witnessed the accidents that the commander and the chief have, they're grateful that we're doing something proactive. The county, sadly, either doesn't have the political will or doesn't have the guts to do the right thing. So shame on them. Jesus, I'm all worked up here, Commander.
I agree, Mr. Mayor. I was going to call him gutless, but you already did it. Ditto.
Anything else for the Commander other than that miserable last slide in the presentation?
Got to get in when I can.
Got to get in when you can. If the community has not yet been to the Commander's office, we invite all the citizens to head over to the police department to check out the Packer wear.
Yes. Absolutely.
In the Commander's office.
I encourage it. I promote it.
And their one loss record.
What, say what?
And their one loss record?
5-4.
All right.
Leading the north along with some other team.
Commander, well done.
Thank you.
Commander Passeroy, thank you for sneaking out early. Chief Mexon, thank you for being here. And thank you for staying for the rest of the meeting. We appreciate it. Mr. Redflex, thank you, sir. Good to see you again. Item 4, amendments to the agenda. Are there any amendments tonight? Item 5 is the omnibus agenda. You'll notice that all items except for one are so listed as an omnibus item and can be enacted by one simple motion.
So moved.
Second.
Alderman Brown makes that motion. Alderman Hill makes the second. Mr. Clerk, please take the roll call.
Rick Pollack?
Aye.
Howard Piper?
Aye.
Todd Singer?
Aye.
Ron Vogelsberg?
Aye.
What did I forget?
There we go. Sorry.
This will come down in your paycheck.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Greg Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
We jump down to item 10, folks, municipal bills for payment. We kindly ask the clerk, who just figured out the microphone, to please read the bills to be paid.
Bills for payment total $982,601.92.
Mr. Mayor, I move that we approve and pay the bills as read and as displayed on the city website.
Second.
Motion by Alderman Brown to pay the bills as read and displayed on the city's website. That second is by Alderman Flanagan. Questions or comments? Mr. Clerk, please take the roll.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
Folks, item 11A is to consider a request to pursue public hearing on city-initiated amendments to City Code Titles 4 and 11 in order to establish use, permissibility, and licensing regulations for adult-use businesses. This matter was considered by the Committee of the Whole. Again, this is simply a motion to hold the public hearing. So I will entertain a motion at this time.
Move approval.
Second.
Hill makes the motion, and Brown makes the second. Any questions or comments? Alderman Maladra.
I'm sorry.
I'm just listening to the city attorney.
How are you?
I'm listening to him whisper in my ear. I thought you said resign.
I guess I'll ask a question. We say that we're talking about permissibility. Under the current ordinance, such an institution could locate
that is
in
correct.
The city right now. So this ordinance is not opening the floodgates and saying, hey, come on in. In fact, this ordinance is...
It's a proactive
thing to try and control. Yeah.
This is quintessential regulation. And I'll share with you what a lot of people don't know is we had an invitation or we had an interest in such a facility wanting to come to Geneva a couple years ago and looking at Hamilton Street. And I was going to appoint the mayor pro tem to do the ribbon cutting. But, so, yeah, it's a...
He was going to volunteer.
So, yeah, we're simply regulating what we anticipate may very well be a request in the future. And according to the maps that were shared by Director Runch, there were some questions regarding the shading of those maps. Hopefully the new information makes that more clear.
Mm-hmm.
So,
thank you.
Alderman Pollack.
Thank you, Mayor. I do appreciate this request, and I believe we should have a public hearing because I really feel this is something that is it's needed. I can't help but notice that both locations are on the east side of Geneva. Questions that have been posed to me, and I said, well, there will be a public hearing. It will be at the Plan Commission. You know, the maps as published are not etched in stone. There's an entire process that has to be gone through, and encourage people to participate.
Absolutely.
So I've said my piece. Thank you.
And it should be noted, there has been no application made. So there is no request to locate in the city. This is, again, is I think is
proactive.
Is a smart and effective move by our city staff and, of course, something we've been contemplating for a while. So, anyone else? Anyone from the audience? We have a motion. We have a second. I kindly ask the clerk to take the roll on item 11A to request the public hearing.
Ray Pollack?
Aye.
Robert Piper?
Aye.
Ron Singer?
Aye.
Don Vogelsberg?
Aye.
Chuck Brown?
Aye.
Dorothy Flanagan?
Aye.
Sam Hill?
Aye.
Craig Maladra?
Aye.
Richard Marks?
Aye.
The motion to conduct the public hearing is voted upon unanimously. Folks, we skip down to new business from the audience. Any new business at all? Oh, yes.
Prompted.
Welcome. Come on up. Join us. You chose the right night to hang out.
I'm Jenny Russo with the Geneva Beautification Committee. And we're working on always fundraising and collecting more to buy more beautiful flowers for the street corners to keep up the tradition here in Geneva. And so in addition to the bundled firewood that we have, our spaghetti supper coming up in March, we now have worked with California Pizza Kitchen and Geneva Commons. We have three dates set where the public is encouraged to come and bring a flyer that's available on our Facebook page and also our Geneva Beautification webpage. Bring that flyer in on November 6th, December 4th, and or January 8th, and then our committee would receive 20% of all the purchases as a donation for us to continue with the plantings for next year as we... And we happen to have some right
here. We just
happen
to have flyers.
So if you'd like to distribute those, that would be great.
I will do that.
And I also wanted to say that all of those dates were on a Saturday. So I encourage you highly to come and have either lunch or dinner.
No excuses.
Or both.
Or both.
And no illegal left turns at that intersection either.
Thank you for that.
20% of all red flex violations will go to the...
Thank you.
Alderman Vogelsberg had contacted me earlier today indicating you'd be here, so we're glad to have you here.
Great.
You guys do great work.
Want to keep it up, so please join us.
Yeah, it was all Jenny's efforts.
That's awesome. We got to make sure the kids get that because the kids love CPK. Yeah.
Well, that's why we did it on a Saturday, so they didn't have an excuse.
Exactly.
There you go.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mrs. Russo. Anyone else in the audience? Any new business at all? A warm welcome to Brenda Shorey, who apparently has returned from God knows where she's been. Where have you been, Shorey?
What's the story, Shorey?
What's the story, Shorey? Look at that. We got Patch.com, the Republican up front, the Chronicle relegated to the back, the Tribune, the second row, trying to ensconce herself in the chamber. Do you know what ensconce means, Barb? See, Maladra, if you'd study more and read something, instead of your packets... Alderman Singer.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Burns. I understand that your mother and father celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary recently.
I lost 20 bucks on that deal. Yes.
John and Ann Burns.
Yep.
And I would like to take a moment here to congratulate them on reaching such a marvelous achievement. And if I may, as well, give them a toast.
Well, please do. I think they prefer cash, but whatever you have.
Here's to the health of the happy pair. May good fortune meet them everywhere. And may each of their days be filled with wedding bliss and always be remembered just as this. So here's to the health of the bride, and here's to the health of the groom, and here's to the health of the pastor who tied the knot, and to all the guests in the room.
That's very sweet. Thank you.
You know, I love some of that, Ron.
Here. Wow, well done. Thank you very much. We had a lovely dinner at Chianti's in downtown Geneva, and it was a great night, so.
I'd like to point out that you're 49 and a half years old, and it bothers me.
He's going to get his sentence.
See, now you just ruined the whole damn night for my mom. She's probably watching. I'll get a text about you. Anyone else new business other than?
You deserve more than that.
Alderman Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I just would like to thank, for someone who couldn't make that wonderful Geneva Viking game on Saturday, I'd like to thank GenevaPatch.com and especially Mr. Nagel for tweeting almost instantly every play in the game. It was wonderful to be able to follow the game from a distance.
It's a lot of tweeting with 62 points.
It was. It was a service to those of us who couldn't make it.
It is. We knew Nagel was good for something. Anyone else? If not, I'll entertain them. Oh, Alderman Flanagan, excuse me.
I forgot to mention that this Saturday, November 6th, is also our last day to pull out all of our annuals, trim our perennials. So it's winterizing. So if anybody has the time or the energy and wants to come out and help everyone, help us get our gardens prepared for winter, please come out. We're going to start at 8 o'clock in the morning. So, thanks.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Motion by Piper.
Second.
Seconded by Vogelsberg. All in favor, please say aye.
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 Good night, everyone.